Chah. Words. Sarvam. Completely. Na. Not. Iti. Thus. Anritam. Falsity. Bruyat. Who should say? Saha. Such a person. Duskirtihi. Infamous. Shwasan. While breathing or while alive. Mritaha. Is dead or should be killed. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, the safe course is to say no. Although it is a falsehood, it protects one completely. It draws the compassion of others toward oneself, and it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Nonetheless, if one always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned, for he is a dead body while living, or while still breathing, he should be killed. Purport. Beggars always present themselves as possessing nothing, and this may be very good for them because in this way they are assured of not losing their money and of always drawing the attention and compassion of others for the sake of collection. But this is also condemned. If one purposely continues this professional begging, he is supposed to be dead while breathing, or according to another interpretation, such a man of falsity should be killed while still breathing. The Vedic injunction in this regard is as follows. Athaitat purnam abhyatmam yanneti sayat sarvam neti bruyat papikasya kirti jayate sainam tatraiva hanya. If one continuously poses himself as possessing nothing and collects money by begging, he should be killed. Sainam tatraiva hanya. Text number 43. Strishu narma vivahe cha vrityarte pranasankate gobrahmanarte himsayam nanritam syaj jukupsitam. In flattering a woman to bring her under control, in joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood, when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows in Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Lord Vamandev Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshitavini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, text 42, let me just read that again. Therefore, the safe course is to say no. Although it is a falsehood, it protects one completely, it draws the compassion of others toward oneself, and it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Nonetheless, if one always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned, for he is a dead body while living, or while still breathing, he should be killed. So I thought today, since it's talking about beggars and begging, so I thought I'll speak about the different types of beggars and in connection or in regard with regard to ISKCON, and then also in terms of giving, the beggars and those who give, the givers. So, I put them into two categories, two types of beggars. One type of beggar is those, like is described here, the professional beggars, those who beg just for their own bellies. or their families. And they have no interest in giving to others. There is no selflessness. They beg and they collect and they just put it in their bank account, and that's for them and their family members. We see beggars everywhere. I mean, in Guyana we have them lined up. Just like in India you see people at, even like in Vrindavan, you're going around on the Parikram path and they're beggars, they're all sitting with their bowls. And just before you get to the beggars, there's someone who is giving you change. They have, you know, piles of coins, and you can change your rupees, and then you, you know, it is set up like that. It's actually a service they're providing. If you want to give to all the beggars, you can, you know, change your 10 rupee note or your 100 rupee note, and you can give all the beggars. So, of course, Vrindavan beggars is a little different from the other types of beggars. Srila Prabhupada actually gave money to some of the Brajavasis. But, so that's one type of beggar who collects only for their own maintenance. And then there is the other type of beggar who collects on behalf of others. They are selflessly collecting for others. You can imagine, and if, you know, if you come to the, you know, somebody who comes first day to the Hare Krishna movement, and if we tell them that we're going to train you up to become a beggar, they would say, "What? I don't have, you know," because the general understanding is begging is actually difficult, is difficult, and it's condemned. No one wants to be a beggar. So in that category of those who begs for others, I divide it into two groups also. Those who beg, they do selfless begging, but they give it to organizations that only take care of the body, like the Red Cross. Well, I don't know exactly, but I'm just thinking. Like those who are missing children, or, you know, like that. We have so many organizations that just feed people, or they may build hospitals or build roads and so forth. These are all philanthropic works, altruistic. Srila Prabhupada described that the Hare Krishna movement is not an altruistic movement necessarily. Even though it appears to be, because we are feeding people, and from yesterday's verses we hear Nagaraj Prabhu describing that it's not just feeding people, but we are giving them Krishna consciousness. We're enlightening them by Krishna prasadam and the holy name and so forth. So, for the devotees, we're begging, like Prabhupada, he has started off the book distribution program. And a lot of times devotees go out, they distribute the books, and you have to ask for money. So in a sense you can say it's begging. But Srila Prabhupada, whenever people would confront him like that, he would say, "You think that they are true beggars? Their family members are so rich, they are coming from rich background, they are from such a rich country, and you think that they are begging?" So this begging is actually glorious for one who is willing to give up all the, you know, all the opulence of family life, and, you know, all the opulences of their relatives and so forth, and take up the Krishna consciousness, and then have to go out on behalf of his spiritual master to beg. This is actually glorious. Who would want to do that? Very few people want to go beg on behalf of others like that. There are so few who are selfless workers. What to speak of a devotee? Of course, the more we are convinced of Krishna and what, you know, and we are working for him, and we are not working for ourselves, and we are and the more we are conscious of Krishna like that, the more we can go out with that attitude and that consciousness that I am going out on behalf, I am a soldier for Krishna, I am going out on Krishna's behalf. I don't care what they think about me, in a sense. You have to care what they think about you for preaching purposes. But devotees would go out. In fact, one lady actually told Prabhupada one time, or she wrote a letter or something, that I see your followers at the airports and there's so much negativity that they are receiving from the people. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back and said that my followers, they are not flickering. They are not, you know, they don't flicker. They don't fluctuate from one to, they are fixed on what they are doing. They are fixed on their service to Krishna. And even though it's difficult, they still do it because they understand that there is some benefit. There is a great benefit by doing that. There is not just great benefit, but ultimate benefit of, you know, reconnecting with Krishna and going back home, back to Godhead. And when I first joined the movement, I mentioned this before, but there are many people here who probably didn't hear. It was like the first week of me, you know, knowing the devotees and coming close to them, and they went on Harinam at the marketplace. And the usual program is that they go around and chant all around the stalls, and you know there's thousands of people there, and they go around just like here. You have flea markets, so there the markets are like that, and you just chant all the way around, and then they come back, and one devotee, he has bags, so they have these bags at the and baskets, so they walk around and people. It's understood they've been doing it for years. So everyone knows that the bags will be coming around and they put their vegetables and, you know, different grains and so forth. Some people would put an entire watermelon and you have to carry. So then another devotee, he comes from behind with a box. And then they put their, you know, their bills, their dollar notes in there. Those who don't give vegetables, they give money. So, and they were relentless. They were going to everyone. You know, they walk around the vegetable section, then they go to the meat section, and, you know, the chicken section, and there is a beef section. And they would just go to everybody. And sometimes they will get these bills, you know, with blood on it, and they wouldn't care. They just wash them off and take it back. So, because their understanding was that everything here and all these people, they need Krishna consciousness, and every dollar they give is actually going into their spiritual bank account. So this is their mentality. And then I wasn't really with them. I was kind of at a distance. I was just joining and I didn't quite understand very well how it works. So there is also a section of beggars. You know, and people were giving them coins and so forth. So then this devotee, after going to the meat section, then he went to the beggar section. And I was just watching the fun. And there was a lady, Christian lady, who was near to me, and she was watching the fun also. And she was, and when she saw them going near the beggars, she said, they're also going to the beggars. So I was thinking, at that time, I didn't understand. I was thinking like the lady, maybe it's true. They shouldn't go to the beggars. You know, the beggars, they have so little already, and they're going to go take, and the beggars were giving. And, you know, it's amazing how the beggars have few coins, but they were giving to them. And, you know, the Vedic culture is still a little bit present there, where people understand that they have to give. Because they know when they give that they'll get back in return. You know, whatever they give, they'll get so much back in return, so much more. And so it's a great thing to understand that when you give to those who are qualified, that you get back so much more. And in general, people would like to give to those who are qualified. In India, the culture is so strong that people even take advantage of householders. You know, those, you just put on your your saffron robes and you walk the streets and you smoke your bidi and, you know, you go collect And because people respect the ashram, sannyas, brahmachari ashram, people give. But some people take advantage, you know, of the culture like that, you know, of the sannyas robes, and collect for their own bellies. Srila Prabhupada said that this is abominable, to collect just for one's own bellies. This is abominable. But collecting for Krishna, this is glorious. So this type of begging is important. The brahmachari, he is trained up to go out and collect on behalf of the guru. Even when Krishna was on the planet, he went out. His Guru Maharaj sent him out, you know, to collect on his behalf. And sometimes they have to give dakshin. This principle of giving dakshina to the guru is a very high principle. In fact, one time, you know that story where the guru sent two of them out, Krishna and another one, Sudama, was it? Was it Sudama? To collect firewood in the forest, Sudama. And then there was a big storm and they got lost. You know, they couldn't find their way back and they stayed out all night. Next day the guru was very concerned and they went and got them. So Krishna was actually, he was telling Sudama, don't you remember that, my friend, at that time when we went to collect wood for our spiritual master? So this principle of giving, of a begging is glorious, providing it is done properly. And we see in our movement, the devotees, they're trained up. You know, practically everyone in the old days, they would go out and they would collect. And it's actually a very nice thing. The system that prevailed then, everyone goes out, they collect, they bring it back to the treasury. And those who are grihasthas or those who are needy, they need money for something, then the treasury, you know, gives out so much money to each person or whoever needs. And in that way, you go out with a free consciousness that, well, it's for Krishna, it's not for me. And whatever you collect, you hand it over. It's such a nice system. And when you go out there, you don't have to worry that, well, oh, is this for me? How much would I give Krishna? And you know, like that. But as you know, devotees starting getting married and becoming grihasthas and more in this community, for example, practically it's a grihastha community. And everyone needs to maintain family and children and pay bills and so forth. So the system is a little different. So I like to read what Srila Prabhupada said with regards to this. In Madhya Leela, chapter 8, text 39, purport, Srila Prabhupada said, a sannyasi is supposed to beg from door to door. He does not beg simply because he is hungry. His real purpose is to enlighten the occupant of every house by preaching Krishna consciousness. A sannyasi does not abandon his superior position and become a beggar just for the sake of begging. Similarly, a person in householder life may be very important, but he may also voluntarily take to the mendicant way of life. Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami were ministers, but they voluntarily accepted the mendicant's life in order to humbly preach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. It is said about them, Tyaktva Turna Mashesha Mandala Pati Shrenim Sada Tuchava. Although the Goswamis were very aristocratic, on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became mendicants just to deliver the fallen souls. One should also consider that those who engage in the missionary activities of the Krishna consciousness movement are under the guidance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are not actually beggars. Their real business is to deliver fallen souls. Therefore, they may go from door to door just to introduce a book about Krishna consciousness so that people can become enlightened by reading. Formerly, brahmacharis and sannyasis used to beg from door to door. At the present moment, especially in the Western countries, a person may be handed over to the police if he begs from door to door. Actually, I heard there was one law that if someone collects alms, that he can be thrown in jail. Do we still have that? Anyone know? Huh? Panhandling. Then it continues to say, in Western countries, begging is considered criminal. Members of the Krishna consciousness movement have no business begging. Instead, they work very hard to introduce some literatures about Krishna consciousness so that people can read them and be benefited. But if one gives some contribution to a Krishna conscious man, he never refuses it. Someone ever give you money for the temple, you should never refuse it. In fact, you should, if someone promises, you should go behind them and make sure that they fulfill their promise. So this is a glorious thing, to be able to beg. It's actually a privileged position to be able to beg on behalf of Krishna. It's Shakshi Gopal Prabhu told me, he said, I love to go out and collect from the Indians for Krishna. But collecting for myself, it is so sour. I don't want to do that anytime. So this is very nice. And then in a lecture in LA on 23rd of December 1968, Srila Prabhupada said, the prescription is for the grihasthas, for the householder, as exemplified by Srila Rupa Goswami, that his income was divided into, it says four parts here, usually it says three parts, 50% for Krishna, 25% for the family, and 25% for his personal reserve fund. That he showed us how a grihastha should live. Not that out of $100, 99% for my wife and 1% for Krishna. No, not like that. One should sacrifice at least 50%. If he cannot sacrifice this, brahmacharis, sannyasis, they have sacrificed their everything, 10%. The grihastha, they cannot do that because they have got wife, children. Therefore, 50%. So these are the prescribed rules and regulations for executing Krishna consciousness. Anyway, if one cannot sacrifice 10%, let him sacrifice at least 1%, 2%. The more he does that is, more he becomes free from bondage. And the more he uses his earning for sense gratification, the more he becomes bound up by the laws of material nature. Yes. And actually, begging for our own is described, the brahmanas in Kali Yuga, they beg for their own. They were supposed to be begging for Krishna. There is a curse actually by Nandishwar in the story of Daksha, and Daksha curses, and he cursed Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva didn't say anything, but Nandishwar, the follower of Lord Shiva, he started to counter curse. There was cursing and counter cursing, and one of the curses was from the fourth canto, second chapter, 26th verse. Sarva bhaksha dvija vritya dritya vidya tapo vrataha vitta dehendriya rama yachaka vicharantiha. These brahmanas take to education, austerity, and vows only for the purpose of maintaining the body. They shall be devoid of discrimination between what to eat and what not to eat. This is his curse. And the last one says, they will acquire money begging from door to door simply for the satisfaction of the body. So sometimes we may come across persons like this, but our job is always to encourage people to give to Krishna. Just like we see in our collection for the temple kitchen and the Krishna Balaram installation, so many devotees came forward and were giving hard-earned money that is difficult. It's actually very difficult to give what you own, especially if one is attached, and more more importantly, if one doesn't have much and, you know, he's just barely trying to make ends meet and pay the bills. So we see devotees actually step forward a lot. On the other hand, our regular donation to the temple is also of paramount importance to keep the temple running. Any church or organization these days, with especially things are so expensive, it's difficult to maintain everything unless there is, and the temple in general, they function on donations. So monthly donations, the tithing program, you know, this monthly donation is very important. In this community, everybody is, it's so hard to find jobs and, you know, get money. But everyone should try to give, even if it's, you know, $10 a month or $5 a month, every little thing helps. And in this way, like Srila Prabhupada said, the more he does, the more he becomes free from bondage. And then in giving, you know, we have to give to the right person. Sometimes out of preaching, we may have to give to someone who may not be qualified. For example, when I was traveling to Jamaica recently, I had to check my bags outside. It was a little late, as usual. And so the sky cap, the guy who was out there and he was doing my bag, and you know, I kind of hurry him up to do it. So, you know, I gave him some extra money for the service he was doing. And of course, other people were out there and they saw me in devotional clothing. So sometimes for preaching purposes, when you're devotional clothing, you may have to do some things that you wouldn't normally do for the preaching work. And that's something that I thought. So, and then Srila Prabhupada, you know, he would give to certain old people in Vrindavan like that. And I was thinking of all these things that we should always give to the right source. And then there's maybe some exceptions like that. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Madan Mohan Prabhu.
I was thinking when you're talking about begging the whole time, of course, the whole story here is on Vamana Dev, who's begging.
I missed that. Yeah, it's Lord Vamandev begging. So, and of course, it's a whole pastime. It's a whole pastime of taking away. And remember, his first option was to put the demigods back in their positions. That was one of the main reasons he came. And on the other hand, he was also glorifying his devotee Bali Maharaj. He was just showing how great Bali Maharaj is. That he would be willing to give everything. So sometimes, and that's the reason why he is a Mahajan, because he was able to renounce everything. He didn't become a Mahajan because he refused and rejected his guru, Shukracharya. He became Mahajan because, yeah, Pushkarpur.
Well, one of the names of the sannyasis, Bhikshu, means beggar.
Right.
So you automatically get that. You're officially a beggar when you become a sannyasi. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one song, you know, Radha Krishna Bolo Sange Chalo E Matra Bhikha Chai, that we're only begging one thing, that is you chant Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna Bolo, and you come with us.
Yeah.
So that's our ultimate begging of people. You know, just when Prabodhananda Saraswati in his famous verse, Dante Nidhaya Trinakam Paleo Nipatya, that one should appear to be a beggar, that's okay. He says, I'm falling at your feet. Prabhupada used to quote this verse, a very nice verse. This should be the mood. He said that we're falling, we're flattering you 100 times. But after that, then they become very disarmed, like, oh, and straw, Dante Nidhaya Trinakam, with a grass or a straw in my teeth, we're begging you. So then if someone's puffed up, he becomes a little more humble himself, that he says, well, this person is so humble, you know, maybe he has some, and in flattering you also, like, you're a wonderful person. Hey, sadhava, sakalameva hayadurat. Hey, sadhava, you call them a sadhu, people like that a lot also, even though they may have no sadhu quality at all.
Yeah.
Hey, sadhava, sakalameva hayadurat. Goranga Chandra Charane Kurutan Ragam. But one thing is, give up all your nonsense and just become attached to Lord Goranga.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's great. Anything else? Gyana Gamya Prabhu.
To take some service from one young devotee in Dallas, in Austin, Texas, and she was working on the website for our film, and I suggested that, do you need any help? She's had a job, and she said, I can only do this at certain times and so forth. I said, do you need any financial help? I can help you perhaps a little bit. She said, no, actually, my Guru Maharaj, who is Sankarshan, yeah. He recommends that I not take any money for service. And we had a very short discussion, email, but I said, that's actually very nice, you know. She said that he said that it ruins the devotional service when we take payments.
Yeah.
And I have to agree with that. My experience personally is that when one starts to calculate that I'm worth so much, and I'm only worth so much, I should be worth more, et cetera, back and forth. The mind is going. So like this, so she wouldn't accept. So it was amazing. I was very pleased to see that that mood is there in some temples, in some parts of our organization.
It's very necessary. Nice. Another thing is, collecting, you know, if we just take, there is also a karmic reaction. If you take from someone without giving back, so service or money or anything like that, to just take from someone, from the time you receive something from someone, if you don't use it in Krishna consciousness, immediately, I think it says you have to pay back four times or something like that. So there is that, you know, when you use it for yourself, then, you know, you're becoming indebted. That's why it's necessary to use it in the service of Krishna and spreading Krishna consciousness. Like all those devotees who have given for books, you know, during the Christmas marathon, you know, they paid for the books and then we put them in libraries or, you know, we distribute them on the streets. This is the example that is given. Jai. So we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthanath Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.